Hi, everybody. I hope you're excited for another podcast episode. I have the lovely Shannon Dolesky, whose debut novel, Mary Underwater, which comes out in just a few days on April 7th. And she's going to tell us all about her novel and her writing journey and the journey to getting it published. And I think you guys are going to have a... That is my child. My apologies. I think you guys are going to have a great time getting to know her and hearing about her writing style and her journey. She's got a lot of awesome information to share with us. So let's go ahead and get to know Shannon. Let's go ahead and get started. So Shannon, can you tell us about your upcoming novel, Mary Underwater?
Yeah, so I wrote an upper middle grade novel about a 14-year-old girl who pilots a submarine across the Chesapeake Bay to kind of escape her abusive family, and she's inspired by Joan of Arc.
It sounds so awesome, and the cover art for it is super cool too.
Thanks. Yeah, I love it. It's like, it's actually cut out paper and then photographed, and then they put like the font and everything on it afterwards. Oh, which is really neat.
It's so cool. I haven't read a lot of middle grade, but I love that, you know, after, you know, reading your blurb, I love that, you know, your main character has some hard things going on in her life and stuff I'm sure that readers will be able to relate to. And it's cool. Will probably be good for them to see that sort of thing, even if it's just in fiction, but helps them to not feel so alone in that.
Yeah, I've got some things in the end in the author's note that are like tips and resources for kids who might be experiencing domestic violence or child abuse in their homes. My husband is a social worker, and I consulted with him about the abuse throughout the book, and then at the end he kind of helps set up safety plans for what to do if you or someone you know is experiencing something like that.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you had him as a resource and have that in the author's note to be in there. That's great. So tell us a little bit about your journey to this point, to where you have a book that's being published.
Yeah, I don't know if mine is normal or not, but I wrote, Mary is my first book. I wrote it in 2015. I kind of got inspired and was like, okay, I'm going to do this over Lent, which is kind of funny because it's a Catholic, kind of a Catholic book. So I wrote it during Lent, and then over the summer of 2015, I queried, and I ended up getting my agent, Veronica Park, from Fuse. I got her in December, and we subbed it on and off for the next 2.5 years, and I did not... I got little bites from some smaller presses with it, and then things would fall apart, or I had some of the publishers kind of went under or got bought out. So I would keep going to acquisitions, and it never followed through. And then in May of 2018, my editor emailed my agent, was like, hey, is this still available? And it was. So we had changed it so much over the 2.5 years. It used to be set in 1978. It used to be YA. It was 60,000 words. Now it's 45 in middle grade and set now. So huge changes from when I first wrote it to when it got bought.
But it sounds like, you know, and I think it's funny that you say, like, oh, I don't know if my journey's normal. Everybody has a different answer to this question, and everybody says that. They're like, well, I don't know. Like, my journey's the typical one. But, you know, it sounds like you had the right agent and the right partner who helped you figure out what you needed to get you to this point. And I'm hoping and sure that you're happy with, you know, your editor and where it got sold now. So...
Yeah, I kind of can't imagine it anywhere else now that it's with Abrams, and they've been a really great home for it, so.
Well,
Well, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about how you approached the querying process, and then if you could just share any tips you have for writers who are in that process right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty impulsive, and I think maybe if I only queried this one book, so I think I would have been less impulsive the next time, like if I needed to query again, or if my agent left the business or whatever. I think I kind of queried everyone in the world, and now I think I would have been a little more selective with, now that I've been kind of in the business more. In 2015, I just kind of sent it to anybody, and I didn't get my agent through cold querying. Anyway, I got her from PitMad, the pit pitch contest on Twitter. So I am a big fan of pitch contests. I think it's really important to kind of be able to summarize your book in one sentence in an elevator pitch anyway, because, you know, right now I had to. but it's, I think, a really important skill to kind of learn in this business. And yeah, so I queried 100 people. I would not have done that again. I would have been a little more selective with who I was sending queries to. Right. And yeah.
Yeah, I think that that is something, and I've definitely done that before too, where I was like, okay, I found this list of people, and I query and I don't enjoy it, and so I have very clear memories of like sending like 50 queries in one day, you know, and being
right.
Like, okay,
oh, wow, yeah.
At least I got it done, and now I don't have to think about it for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's definitely something to be said for taking time and being selective and doing research, although it adds so much time to the process.
It does,
it's definitely beneficial. But at least it's still, you know, you got that querying experience, and then PitMad, which is so fun. I always love to scroll through Twitter on those days and see what, you know, is out there and what people are working on. But I think, too, those contests can be hard because you can get lost in the Twitter feed and world and not be seen by anything, too.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. It's nice if you can have other people kind of boost you up in those, on those days. But yeah, I, you know, I had probably like 100 followers at that point when I did it, and still caught the attention of a few agents, which was nice. And it doesn't take too much to do that. Like, there's not as much that you have to prepare for or kind of invest in to do that, and then you can afterwards. So yeah,
and it's like you said, it's good practice. Even if you don't get any likes from agents or anything like that, it's really good to think about what your elevator pitch is and the different ways you could describe your book.
Agreed.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about my next question is a two-parter for you. So what is the hardest part of writing? And then what is the hardest part of being an author so far for you? Because I'm sure this question will change as you get closer to pub day and as you publish more books.
Okay, so it's two-parter. And the first part, the hardest thing about it?
The hardest part of writing, and then the hardest part of being an author.
Okay. You know, right now for me, I'm having a really hard time writing my next book. I wrote a book right after we sold Mary. So last fall I wrote one, and I tend to kind of get obsessed and write something in like 2 months, and then I do pretty clean first drafts, and then I have to go back and add. But I've been having a really hard time switching from writing a draft, like a new thing, while working on edits. Because when you get edits for your book that you sell, it's like you get an email, hey, here are your edits. This is what, you know, I'm thinking, and can you have this by this certain date? And, and my editor were great about like my dates and my timelines and everything, but I have a hard time kind of switching voices. I think that I I call myself a method writer, where I kind of become the character. So it's hard for me to switch personalities and become a new character. And then, because I like to be fully immersed. So that's been the hardest thing for me right now. Because I want to, like, be doing everything I can to promote Mary, but also want to write a new thing. So that's been a little tough for me right now. I don't know if there's a downside. I really am enjoying being an author and being kind of in the public realm as far as writing. You wrote a book, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that. I think there's, so far I'm enjoying. I'm still, like, really in the honeymoon stage of liking everything about it. So,
well, that's good.
I don't know.
That's a great answer to it, is that there isn't a hard part right now.
No, yeah.
Well, let's talk then about what your the best part of being a writer is for you.
I really like immersing myself in something. It's like the best kind of daydreaming. I really like just slipping into this other world for a little bit, and it's a great excuse to get to do that too.
It definitely is.
That it's our job that we get to daydream, and I really like daydreaming about what could happen in my books and in my little worlds that we create.
I love it. That is definitely the best part, and you get to play, you know, make believe for your job and your, you know, for the majority of your time, which is super special.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your writing style then. Let's see if you're more of a pantser or a planner or somewhere in between those two.
I think I'm in between. I like to have my character and my kind of my premise really solid when I start, and sometimes I don't know what the end is going to look like or not, and I know that's a thing we're supposed to know.
Right.
But I do sometimes think that it changes. I've had books change in the end, but yeah, I like to have kind of the main plot points or main premise fleshed out, and then kind of discover the smaller things or the smaller plots as they come up. And so yeah, in between.
I think being in between is kind of like a sweet spot for me too. And I don't know that I always have my endings figured out. I know that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to like know.
Right.
But my endings, I feel like, always change at least 3 or 4 times as I go through.
Yes. Which I agree. Is fine. Mine change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just letting ourselves be flexible and our characters be flexible. That's fine.
Yeah. I think I think when you can't be flexible, like, you have to do more work and edits.
Yes. I remember.
I
remember I used to hardcore outline, and I felt like because I spent all that time on it, I really had to stick to it, and I wouldn't let myself budge from what I had set out. But then I would end up getting stuck, or I'd write something and I just wouldn't like it anymore, you know? So then I would have to go back and do a lot of reworking anyway. So being flexible is helpful.
I like to make a list that says everything that can happen. And then I just write a whole bunch of stuff down, and then that's when I'm stuck. That's what I do is...
I like that.
Okay, I don't know what happens next. And then what are all the things that could happen? And then that also helps me not get overwhelmed with, like, oh, I have nothing to say. I have 30,000 words left and I don't know what is going to happen. And so that helps me, like, no, you do. You know that you want these, you know, 6 scenes, so go find the other ones. So
I really like that. Yeah, I'm going to steal that from you, because that is something that could definitely help me when I get to those points, because I still think we all get stuck still, even though I'm more of a, you know, a plotter, you know, in between, but there's still always times when I'm like, what do I do next?
Right, yeah.
Well, I love it. So let's talk about, I know you mentioned a little bit that you had this idea for Mary Underwater in 2015, but tell me a little bit about how your love of writing really began for you.
I always wrote something. When I was in second grade, I wanted to be a country music singer. And nice. So I would write songs. I remember writing songs on note cards and they'd be in my back pocket. But that's because I wanted to be a famous country musician. Not necessarily, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter. So I think that I was always writing things. And then in high school, I was also in a very not good band, and I would write songs and sing them. And I was always just kind of writing, but novels specifically, I didn't try until I was an adult. And I, oh no, that's a lie. Sorry. I definitely wrote stories when I was in middle school. I would write, I have them too. And they're I wrote one thriller called The Blue Bandit. And it's my Ooh. Friends and I are, yes, it's very thrillerish. But my friends are, I get kind of abducted while we're high schoolers, very glamorous high schoolers vacationing in Cape Cod. So I always wrote stuff like that. I also wrote in seventh grade, I wrote a historical about a girl named Abby, and it was during the Boston Tea Party. So very Massachusetts themed for some reason.
I love it.
Not really sure why, but yeah. So I was lying, and yes, I did write stories, but I've always written all different kinds of stuff. So yeah.
But I think that's good. You were letting your creative juices just flow in whatever way they needed to be. I definitely went through that phase where I was I'm going to be a famous singer-songwriter. And I would thought I was writing these amazing poems and lyrics. And now I look at them and I'm like, oh my gosh, the emotion and the angst that is behind those.
Mm-hmm. Mine too, yeah.
So good. But, it's fun to look back on those things and remember okay, I've made some improvements. I've gotten better as I've gone along.
Yes.
Well, I'd love to know about different people's revision strategies. So could you share with us what your revision process looks like? And, you have your agent and your editor who are so wonderful, but, not everybody has those. So maybe some of the things that you do before your work gets sent to your agent.
Yeah, I always send my books out to critique partners before they go to my agent. Anyway, I always have, and I feel the more work you do with critique partners, the less you have to do with your agent or editor.
Yeah.
I like to kind of change who my critique partners are too. First, I have my friend Amanda, who is also a middle grade and YA writer, and she is a librarian too, and she and I always swap, so she's my primary critique partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pick usually some writer friends, some reader friends.
Yeah.
And because I think they bring, what my agent always says is, a lot of people are really good at telling, oh, this isn't working for me, I don't like this, but they don't know how to fix things. But if you have three people who are I don't like this character, you or maybe a critique partner who knows the writing side a little better will have an easier time figuring out what's wrong, if you can. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but she's you find what's not working and then you go fix it yourself, but don't listen to other people on how to fix things, but listen to them of what's not working necessarily.
Yeah.
But I like to give myself a little breathing room. I like to get it out to people. and I like to make scene charts after I've done my draft. Ooh. I will make either scene chart that's like very simple, like what happens in the scene, maybe how many words it is. I'll either do like a scene chart, or I will do a note cards where I sometimes I'll do like different color note cards for different plot lines, but that helps me see big picture and then go from there. I don't do those things until I've got a draft.
Because so much can change in the drafting process.
Yes.
That you would waste note cards.
Yes.
I like that too. I think I'm, you know, I think we can get so, I don't know the right word, but like blind to our manuscript and the outline or the plot points that we've set together. So I think I do note cards too. And I like to, like to have them all laid out and look at everything and put little notes of where things happen and all that, because it's definitely visually just breaks it up in a different way.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. And I like what you mentioned too about sending it to CPs and to like readers, like reader critique partners too. Because they, you know, I feel like a lot of writers when we're, and I try and not do it when I'm just reading for fun, but you always find yourself, you know, like analyzing books a little bit.
Oh gosh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
So to find somebody who's not going to do that and is just going to read it for enjoyment and tell you, you know, from just like a reader off the street perspective is super helpful.
Yeah, I do that just for fun sometimes. Well, just switch it up and
I always send it to you know, my brother likes to read my books too, and I always know he's gonna give me like good reader feedback, but he's also gonna be like, this is great and you did so good, because that's always nice to hear.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you do need like someone who's, I can't give people my stuff until I'm done or it messes with my head.
Yeah.
So I need a good, like, I need compliments, but I also need, this is what's not working.
Definitely. And it's, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to find those people and the ones that you can trust to, you know, give you that good feedback. But I mean, there's so many good resources out there, and I have found some really good CPs and all that on Twitter who, you know, I've never met in real life, and they're really great friends of mine, and I trust them completely with sending my work to them, so that's a good resource for it, too.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Well, Shannon, my last question for you is, I've been told the hardest question to answer, but I don't know. But I would love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently that you really enjoyed.
Oh, no, I like this question.
Okay, good.
I've been reading, like, I can't read kid lit right now very much, unless it's my friend's stuff, because it's a little too close for me. But I did this year read a lot of adult literary stuff. I read did love Daisy Jones and the Six. It's Taylor Jenkins Reid. I really loved that. It's like a Fleetwood Mac type interview epistolary book, and I loved that. And then I also read I'm so bad at remembering titles of things. I read The Song of Achilles, which wasn't written this year, but that and Circe, or I don't know how to say that, but I read both of those. This Madeline Miller, and I loved those. They were amazing.
That's awesome. I love asking this question just because there's lots of books out there that we miss, so we can't possibly know about all of them, right? So I think it's good to just share, and I found some cool ones answering this question. Cool. So, Shannon, I'm going to do a sign-off really quick, but I'm not just going to hang up on you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Shannon, thank you so much for chatting with me today and telling us about Mary Underwater, which comes out soon, so everybody should go and pre-order it. And it has been just so lovely getting to know you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was my first podcast, and it was great.
I love it. I hope it was comfortable for you. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. As always, please rate and review and share it with your friends and help Shannon get the word out about her lovely book, and make sure to pre-order it and go buy it and show her some love on social media. And thank you guys so much for listening. See you next time.